Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. We are here now for my sharing from the Seven Steps to Awakening. And as usual, before I start sharing, I'm going to play a song that we can just use for a little bit of quiet, a little bit of inner focus. And I'm going to play a song, it looks like, from Jesus Christ Superstar. And the name of the song is Everything's All Right. Let me make sure my volume is up. Okay, here we go.
Try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's alright? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight. Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you. Then we feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the oil looks sweet, for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax, think of nothing tonight. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's alright? Yes, everything's alright, yes.
Surely you're not saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be poor always pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. While you still have me, move. While you still see me, you'll be lost and you'll be sorry and you'll
die. Then I shall soothe you, come and anoint you before your hot forehead. Then you feel everything's alright. Yes, everything's fine, and it's cool and we are.
When I hear that song, I always hear the voice of Mary Magdalene as the voice of the Holy Spirit. She's telling both Jesus and Judas to let go of their worries, let go of what concerns them, and just relax. So tonight we're going to be starting in the Seven Steps to Awakening with quote number 659. And I'm going to put a link to 659 in my journal. Whoops, are we? Are you guys able to hear me? No? Are you able to hear me now? Okay, I had my eyes closed while listening to the song. Remember, the song, as I mentioned, is for the purpose of going within. And so and so I had my eyes closed, and I did not know until the song was over that you guys could not hear. But we're here for the 7 Steps to Awakening, and I'm going to begin tonight with quote 659. So here is a link to 659 in my journal. And I'm just going to start by reading the quote. It's a very, very short quote, however. It's from Yoga Vasistha, the Supreme Yoga, and this is the quote. In truth, there is no mind. That's the quote. In truth, there is no mind. And I'm just going to go directly to the journal entry and read it. So this is the journal entry for 659. Who am I? If I am not an alert inquiry, isn't it true that I still blindly believe that I am my thoughts, at least to some degree? What are my thoughts? Where do they come from? The clear answer is mind. But what is mind? This apparent source of thoughts which I, to some degree, believe and identify with. If I want to know what I am agreeing, I may have a typo here. Let me read the whole sentence and see if I can figure it out. If I want to know what I'm agreeing that I am whenever I identify with thought. No, I guess that's right. It just looks a little weird to read it. If I want to know what I am agreeing that I am whenever I identify with thought, don't I also have to know what mind is, since mind is the source of thought? Without intellectual responding, I choose to inquire and investigate. What is mind? Let me see for myself. I'm maybe going to open up NTI here if I can find the place that I am thinking of, because this is reminding me very, very much of something written in NTI, but I'm not sure I know where it is. Yeah, I'm not sure I know where it is, so I might not be able to do it. When I was scribing NTI, this is long before I had heard of self-inquiry. And what happened when I was scribing NTI is that the voices that I was listening to, which of course were called the Holy Spirit, but they seemed to have many different personalities to them, which is why I say voices, but they were all under the umbrella of Holy Spirit. They tried to teach me self-inquiry. I had never heard of self-inquiry, and during the process of that teaching while scribing NTI, I became afraid. And as a result of my becoming afraid, the teaching of self-inquiry stopped, and it did not come back again until a few years later when I started listening to the Inner Ramana. So what I was going to do, if I could have found it, was I was going to read to you where this teaching is in NTI and show you where I became afraid, but I'm not able to find it. It's funny because it's the one teaching I almost can never find when I'm flipping through looking for it. So I guess that's just the way it is. But it's one of the places in NTI that I kind of say is not perfectly pure. There's a couple of different spots in NTI that I feel are not perfectly pure, only because the scribe became afraid. And I feel deeply that what the teaching that was about to come was not allowed to come because the scribe became afraid. Hold on, Jamie, come here. You can't go in there. You can go outside, but you can't go in there. And this particular quote has got me looking at this same place again, this same place where twice in NTI I became afraid. And therefore, whatever might have been written in NTI, had I not been afraid, didn't come through. Well, here we are. We're in the same spot again. And the spot is really what's before mind. It's an interesting place to become afraid. And actually, as I look at it right now, I can see why the fear would arise. If I am still identified with mind, looking to see what is before mind is very, very scary. And that's really where self-inquiry is looking. Self-inquiry is looking to see what is before mind. So what's happening here in my contemplation, and remember the quote is, in truth there is no mind. So in my contemplation of this, I'm brought back to that point again where I've been afraid to go and afraid to look before. And it seems like, at least from my reading of this journal entry, that what I've decided here is to go forth and look. To go forth and look. Finally, you know, in November of 2012, not to be afraid, but to go forth and look. Listen to this again. Who am I? If I am not in alert inquiry, isn't it true that I still blindly believe that I am my thoughts, at least to some degree? What are my thoughts? Where do they come from? The clear answer is mind, but what is mind? This apparent source of thoughts, which I to some degree believe and identify with. If I want to know what I am agreeing that I am whenever I identify with thought, don't I also have to know what mind is, since mind is the source of thought? Without intellectual responding, I choose to inquire and investigate. What is mind? Let me see for myself. So again, it seems here that I'm getting ready to go in and look. You know, when you're looking at mind, you also look beyond mind, because it takes something beyond mind to look at mind. And again, I'm not looking at mind in the way that I did as a student of A Course in Miracles. As a student of A Course in Miracles, I was doing what I called mind watching. But the mind watching was a little different. The mind watching was looking to see if the source of a thought was ego, or if the source of a thought was Holy Spirit. It was learning to disregard all thoughts that come from ego and listen to all thoughts that come from Holy Spirit. In that, we kind of have right mind and wrong mind. And it was disregarding the wrong mind and accepting and following the right mind. But now where I'm giving willingness to go is beyond mind completely. Beyond both what we would call the wrong mind and the right mind. So I think that's all I have to say about this. You know, again, the quote is, in truth there is no mind. Maybe there is something else I want to say. One thing that I became very dedicated to in 2012 as I began the 7 steps to awakening, and I remain very dedicated to this day, is I became very dedicated to not accepting anything on belief. In other words, I'm not going to listen to Yoga Vasistha say, in truth there is no mind, and then accept as a belief that there is no mind, and go around, we often hear the word parroting to others, there is no mind. So what's important here is that in this journal entry, I am saying I choose to inquire and investigate let me see for myself. That's very important. I'm reaching for direct experience instead of belief. So I'll go ahead and read the journal entry one more time, and then we'll move on. Who am I? If I am not alert in inquiry, or if I'm not in alert inquiry, isn't it true that I still blindly believe that I am my thoughts, at least to some degree? What are my thoughts? Where do they come from? The clear answer is mind, but what is mind? This apparent source of thoughts which I, to some degree, believe and identify with. If I want to know what I am agreeing that I am whenever I identify with thought, don't I also have to know what mind is, since mind is the source of thoughts? This is very similar questioning to what's in NTI in this place that I cannot find. Again, very similar questioning, almost the same as the questions that Holy Spirit was asking me to consider, you know, probably back in 2006, and I just was not ready, and I became afraid, and the inquiry did not continue. Without intellectual responding, and this again is choosing not to go into belief, without intellectual responding, I choose to inquire and investigate. What is mind? Let me see for myself. And so with that decision made, I'm now going to move on to quote number 660. And Lynn, I see your question. I'm not even going to answer your question right now. I want to just continue teaching and see what comes spontaneously as I speak. How does that sound? All right. So moving on to 660, first of all, the quote from the Supreme Yoga in the Seven Steps to Awakening. When the inner light begins to shine, the mind ceases to be. Even as when there is light, darkness vanishes. First of all, I'm pausing because I'm looking at this right now along with the previous quote. This is where sometimes people can get, you know, all discombobulated, you know, when looking at spiritual teachings, because we had Yoga Vasistha and quote 659 saying, in truth, there is no mind. And now we have Yoga Vasistha in 660 saying, the mind ceases to be. There is no mind, and the mind ceases to be. In order for something to cease to be, doesn't it have to be first? So does that mean there is a mind? And these are the kinds of things that when I notice, I get very still. I get very quiet. And I don't think about these questions. I just get quiet and I sit with the questions. In fact, I'm kind of reminded now, some of you may remember, I think it was March of this year, we had an awakening together satsang with Mukti, Adyashanti's wife. And Mukti talked about how when she was going into meditation, she would often drop a question into the meditation, just drop the question in. And sometimes I think, if I remember correctly, she even said that, you know, she might stay with the same question for a very long time. And every time she would begin to meditate, she would drop the question in. And even though I would never word it in that same way, I knew what she was talking about because that's what I do. I call that contemplation rather than meditation. I call that contemplation. But when I contemplate, I don't think. When I contemplate, I just be with an openness, and an openness can be called a question. A question is something that is open. So a question that I can be with is a question like, here is a statement, there is no mind. Here is a statement that the mind ceases to be. And then I can just be with the open question that's really looking for clarity regarding these two statements. And as I be with these two questions, I might begin to see something like the idea of Santa Claus, for example. I might start to see how, you know, at one time, for me, Santa Claus very much seemed to be. Not only did Santa Claus appear to be, but at a particular time of year, you know, especially at a particular time of year, especially, Santa Claus was very, very important to me. And then at some time, you know, when I was a little older, I found out that there really was no Santa Claus. And you could argue that for me, Santa Claus ceased to be. And yet at the same time, Santa Claus never was. Right? So something can appear to be when we give it belief and attention and when we value it. But then there can be a maturing process where we come to see differently. And we see that it doesn't exist. And so it could be said that it ceases to be for us at that point, when in fact, it actually never was. So again, quote number 659 said, "In truth, there is no mind." 660 says, "When the inner light begins to shine, the mind ceases to be. Even as when there is light, darkness vanishes." So let's go and have a look at the journal. The journal for number 660 says, "One way to understand what mind is by looking at what mind isn't." Now again, I want you to understand that for me, this is a, remember in 659, I made a decision to look very directly for myself and not to operate on belief. So what we're looking at now in 660 is the first step of me following that commitment and looking very, very directly for myself. So 660 says, "One way to understand what mind is by looking at what mind isn't." Mind isn't the inner clarity that shines in this journal. Wisdom is not mind. Wisdom shines forth from a source that is before mind. When wisdom shines, there is no mind. This was something that was from very genuine, direct experience for me. I mean, I know what it is like when I am out in my day and I allow myself to get caught on some thought and begin thinking about that thought, perceiving a problem somewhere, looking at possible solutions, seeing problems in some of the possible solutions, not being able to find a clear answer. You know, I know what that whole thing feels like, that whole mind thing feels like. I also know what it's like to sit down in the morning in my contemplation time and to forget everything, because I do, I forget everything. To have no thought towards these imagined or these perceived problems. Not, you know, I used to sit down, once upon a time, I used to sit down in the morning, and if I had a perceived problem, I would sit down and I would try to look at that problem with Holy Spirit. And that actually worked quite well for me for a long time. Holy Spirit would always show me the thinking that was in my mind that needed to be corrected. But a maturity has happened. And when I sit down in the morning, I don't sit down with any perceived problems that I had in the previous day. When I sit down in the morning, I sit down with only one intention, and that is to know truth. I'm not thinking about the world or the, you know, the little things in the world that the mind might says need fixing or need an answer. They're not anywhere near me when I sit down in the morning. And so I sat down in the morning with one intention only, and this is my purpose of discovering or realizing truth. And when I sat down with that very heartfelt intention, for lack of better words, things happen. I have realizations. And those realizations do not come from thinking. And so I know the difference between that realizing and thinking. And I know the realizing does not come from the same source as the thinking. I'm very, very, very aware of the difference. So although I might not be able to answer the question, what is mind at this point, I can say what mind isn't. Mind isn't that, whatever that realizing wisdom processes that I experience in the morning, that's something that's beyond mind. And it's interesting because the quote says, when the inner light begins to shine, the mind ceases to be. Even as when there is light, darkness vanishes. I call that wisdom experience heart instead of mind. And I know that the reason I call it heart instead of mind is because it seems to come from something different. I can't call them both mind. So again, Journal Entry 660 says, one way to understand what mind is by looking at what mind isn't. Mind isn't the inner clarity that shines in this journal. Wisdom is not mind. Wisdom shines forth from a source that is before mind. When wisdom shines, there is no mind. And I'm just going to move right on to 661. 661 in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, says, be firmly established in egolessness and remain unpolluted like space. Be firmly established in egolessness and remain unpolluted like space. And so the journal entry for 661 says, what is ego? I mean, if I'm being asked to be firmly established in egolessness, don't I first have to know what ego is? So the inquiry is, what is ego? And the answer comes, ego is the sum total of thoughts believed. Ego is the sum total of thoughts believed. The idea that there is less ego when there are less thoughts believed is partially true, yet whenever any thought is even partially believed, ego is fully present. I'll read that last sentence again. The idea that there is less ego when there are less thoughts believed is partially true, yet whenever any thought is even partially believed, ego is fully present. So I talked a moment ago about what I know what it's like when I get into my day and something appears, something happens that the mind judges is, you know, that's not right. Somehow that's not right. That needs to be fixed. You know, I know what that's like, and I know what it's like when that's believed. Okay, that's not right, that needs to be fixed, and that idea becomes believed. In that moment, ego is full. Ego is full. Now, if I quickly see that ego is full, And I choose to let go very quickly and say, oh, boy, that's not true. That's not true. I don't understand this. I don't know why it's happening this way, but it's got to be perfect. You know, I'm just going to let it be perfect and continue to watch this with open curiosity or something. Well, then the ego can be deflated as I step away from that. But in the moment that I'm believing, ah, something's not right here, this has to be fixed, ego is full. So even if I have been letting go of ego for 15 years, and I've let go of a lot of false beliefs, there are a lot of circumstances where I just do not respond to thoughts at all anymore, a lot of circumstances where believing doesn't happen. Many, many hours of my day where believing isn't happening. I'm just in the flow. But then a thought comes and believing happens. In that moment, ego is full again. It's completely full. So what this really says is there is a connection between mind and ego. Because mind is the source of thoughts. And when those thoughts are believed, there is ego. And this is something that can really be observed. It doesn't have to be believed. This can be really observed. If we have enough discernment to know what ego feels like, an ego, again, is a strong sense of self, a strong belief. Actually, it could be a weak belief, but I'll call it a strong belief that this is who I am, that this world is very real, that circumstances need to be a certain way in order for me to be safe and happy. You know, that is ego. And if I get to be very familiar with that feeling, we called it last week this dense sense, If I become very familiar with that feeling, I can feel very clearly that it's not there, I'm in the flow, it's not there, I'm in the flow, it's not there, I'm just following intuition, things are just happening, blah, 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 and then boom, a thought is believed and it's fully there again. I can see that. I can see it only takes one thought and it's full. It's not partial. The ego is full when any thought is believed. So this is something I don't have to believe. I don't have to say, oh, Regina said this. Or if I read it somewhere else, like A Course in Miracles, I don't have to say, oh, I've read this. I can watch this. I can see this. I can see that as soon as a single thought is believed, the entire ego is back. Boom. And so I can see that there's a definite connection as well between ego and mind, or ego and thoughts, at least. It almost seems like right now that if you have thoughts and you have belief to it, then you have ego. Right? If you have a thought and the thought is disregarded, not believed, you don't have ego. You don't have that. But if a thought is believed, you have ego. So what is ego? Ego is the sum total of thoughts believed. The idea that there is less ego when there are less thoughts believed is partially true. Yet, whenever any thought is even partially believed, the ego is fully present. And again, the quote is asking us to be firmly established in egolessness and remain unpolluted like space. Think about that. Remain unpolluted like space. But right now, when I think of space, I mean, some people might think of space is out there where the stars are and other planets and stuff. But when I think of space, I think of the space right here in this room that I'm sitting in. And when I contemplate the space, the difference between the space and me, within me, and me here really does refer to the ego sense, within me, within the ego sense, believing happens. I believe this thought, and then I believe that thought, and then I believe another thought. If I believe a happy thought, I feel happy. If I believe an unhappy thought, I feel unhappy. But there's a believing that happens. There's both chatter and believing. And then when I just look to my side a little bit, to the space, I don't see that. I don't see believing happening. I see is. Now some people might say, well, there's no chatter either. And I could go with that, there's no chatter. But I could also say, but you know what, in a way you could say there is chatter. I mean, if you look at the space in a room, a lot of things can be happening within a room. You can have a couple in a room arguing. You can have children in a room playing. You can have, you know, a dog in a room doing, you know, sleeping. Like my dog is sleeping right now. There's a lot of things that can happen in the room. But the space is not involved in any of that. Even though it's present and all of that is happening within the space is not involved in the chatter and the goings on. So when I read 661, be firmly established in egolessness, well, first of all, I've now defined ego as the sum total of thoughts believed. Well, how would I be firmly established in egolessness if ego is the sum total of thoughts believed? Even one thought partially believed, ego is still full, right? Well, that means in order for me to be egoless, I have to be not involved in any thoughts. I have to not believe. I literally have to be like the space in this room, which is what the quote goes on to say. Be firmly established in egolessness and remain unpolluted like space. Again, anything could happen in this room, and the space is unaffected. So what if anything that happens in this mind, any thoughts that appear in this mind, if I become completely uninvolved, detached, do not believe a one of them, then I, at that point, and unpolluted, like the space, and in fact, there would be no ego sense. If there is zero believing, there would be no ego sense. That's being firmly established in egolessness. As long as there's believing happening, there will be an ego sense. But then I'm not doing what the quote says. I'm not being firmly established in egolessness. And I'm not remaining unpolluted like the space because I am believing. One thing that's nice about looking at it like this is this makes it very simple, not necessarily easy, but very simple. We don't have to be all worried about or consumed with questions about what is ego, how do I let go of the ego. We see ego is the sum total of thoughts believed. And the way to remain firmly established in egolessness is not believing. We don't have to get rid of the thoughts, just like the room doesn't have to get rid of the furniture and the people in it. We just have to be present or ising. Or being without involvement. And then we're unpolluted like the space in the room. And we are established in egolessness. I'm going to go on to 662. And 662 is much longer. So let me read quote 662 to you. The mind is the hub around which this vicious cycle revolves, creating delusion in the minds of the deluded. It is by firmly restraining that hub through intense self-effort and keen intelligence that the whole wheel is brought to a standstill. When the hub's motion is stopped, the wheel does not revolve. When the mind is stilled, illusion ceases. One who does not know this trick and does not practice it undergoes endless sorrow. So remember, when we were looking at the previous quote, 661, we said there is a connection. We can see there's a connection between ego and mind. Because mind is the source of thoughts. And when those thoughts are believed, you also have ego. And what this is saying is that mind is the hub around which this vicious cycle revolves, creating delusion in the minds of the deluded. So this quote is really confirming what we have just seen through our own contemplation of the previous quotes. And it's nice when you contemplate some quotes on your own and you have realizations that you have not really had before, a clarity, at least an angle to clarity that you have not ever had before. And then you come to a quote that seems to confirm everything that you just realized and then takes you even further. Somehow when this happens, you have an experience that you also know is beyond mind. Remember we said a while ago that one of the easiest ways to see what mind is by first seeing what mind isn't. And we said mind isn't wisdom. Well, this shows how there's something else, some other, I'm going to call it source of intelligence, that is not mind, because mind could not orchestrate, contemplate this quote, have a little realization, contemplate this quote, take the realization a little further, contemplate this quote, go even further with the realization, and then bam, the next quote confirms the three realizations you just had. And we've all had these experiences. We've had experiences of, you know, sometimes, like one experience I used to have all the time, I would sit with many books in front of me and I would feel, open this book randomly, read a paragraph, put it down, open this book randomly, read a paragraph, put it down. You know, this is what was happening for me then. And the paragraphs would just go one after another, after another, after another, as if they were written in the same book. And we know something is orchestrating this. And so again, we're beginning to get a sense of an intelligence. That is something other than this which we call mind. And in fact, another way that we know that it's different is we've already seen that when I believe the mind, I have ego. But when I pay attention to this, I don't even have to believe it. I just pay attention to this. It's beyond belief what it's showing me. I pay attention to this. I listen to this. There is no ego. There's both humbling and a humbling that happens and an enlightening experience that happens, a seeing that happens, insight that happens. Insight, that's a good word. Insight happens. But not ego. Let me go back to the quote. The mind is the hub around which this vicious cycle revolves, creating delusion in the minds of the deluded. It is by firmly restraining that hub through intense self-effort and keen intelligence that the whole wheel is brought to a standstill. When the hub's motion is stopped, the wheel does not revolve. When the mind is stilled, illusion ceases. One who does not know this trick and does not practice it undergoes endless sorrow. So let's go to the journal entry. 662A says, again, mind is the sum total of thoughts believed. When there are no thoughts believed, there is also no mind. Do you remember what I said about Santa Claus? Remember when Santa Claus was believed, there appeared to be a Santa Claus? And then when the maturing happens and it came to be seen that Santa Claus was just a belief, and then I willingly let go of my belief, Santa Claus ceased to be. Not only did Santa Claus cease to be, but it was also seen that there never was a Santa Claus, right? This is an experience most of us have had, maybe not all of us. Maybe not all of us were raised with that tradition. But most of us have had this experience, so we know what it's like. Well, now this is saying it's the exact same thing with mind. When the believing is completely let go, there is no mind. So that means that if mind is still casting out thoughts in my mind, like mind is still there. Now right now my experience would be just this, and I would imagine many of you people have the same experience. My experience would be just this, and that mind is casting out thoughts throughout the day. Some of those thoughts are simply not believed, right, because of spiritual practice prior to now. And some of those thoughts are believed. And so as a result, sometimes I am, you could say, operating egoless. And then a thought's believed and ego is right back again. But the experience that I have, whether I seem to be operating just on some kind of an intuitive flow, without a sense of I, without a thought of I, just moving about, or whether I seem to be believing thoughts and there's a strong ego sense again, right? Regardless of the experience that I have right now in this phase for me of spirituality, in both cases there is still mind. It's just either mind believed or mind disregarded. But if mind is appearing at all, what this is telling me, if mind is appearing at all, something is still being believed in order to cause that. Because without something being believed, there could not be mind at all. So although I may not be believing every thought that mind throws out, and in fact I might not be believing a significant number of thoughts that mind throws out, there's a core believing that is still happening, or there wouldn't even be the appearance of mind. Remember, when Santa Claus is not believed, Santa Claus ceased to be. When mind is not believed at all, when thoughts are not believed at all, when concepts are not believed at all, mind also ceases to be. So some degree of believing, even what I'm going to call core believing from the subconscious level, this is what keeps mind going. So again, 662A says mind is the sum total of thoughts believed. Just like ego was the sum total of thoughts believed, mind is the sum total of thoughts believed. When there are no thoughts believed, there is also no mind. I haven't lost the mic or anything. This has just taken me into a moment of silence, a moment of a moment of being without the pull to go forward. So I'm just staying with that. Mind is the sum total of thoughts believed. What's happening as I'm sitting here? Is that the heart is radiating a I'm going to call it a commitment of willingness. And if I was to draw a picture for you, what the heart would have me be right now is like down on my knees in a very holy setting, maybe in a grotto, very beautiful grotto somewhere. Completely cracked open in humility. And whispering, show me the believing. Show me the believing. Don't let me believe without seeing. Don't let it be blind. There's this dark space of prayer that falls over me sometimes. I call it a dark space of prayer because there isn't really any words in it. It's dark not in the evil way or anything like that. It's dark in the very still, very silent, very very certain. There's something very certain that I'm just to hold here right now and not move from it. And it's come right now, so it kind of leaves me without an ability to continue. So I'm going to have to stop. I'll read this quote one more time, 662A, and then I will play a song. And then I will come back for satsang. The good news is about satsang tonight is that it is pre-recorded, so I don't really have to do anything but play the recording for you. So that's good. And I will be able to just sit and be still, which is what I'm being pulled into right now. So let me just read this for you one more time. And then next time I will start with 662 again. But listen to this, because it's these words that have pulled me in. So listen to this. Listen, not with your head, with your heart. Mind is the sum total of thoughts believed. Now remember, we've already seen that ego is the sum total of thoughts believed. But we don't really think of ego as the source. Ego is the effect. Mind is the source of the thoughts that is being believed that causes ego. Ego is the effect. Mind is the source of those thoughts. And now we're being told that mind itself, just like Santa Claus, can completely disappear, completely cease to be, because it is not. The only thing that keeps mind appearing to be is the believing. The same believing that keeps ego appearing to be. You could say as long as there is mind, there's the potential for ego in any moment. But when mind ceases to be, there's no more potential for ego. It's impossible. So the willingness that is coming, that is calling me into the dark cave of the heart, it's an intense desire to see the believing in every instant. So that the believing can completely stop. And again, all this willingness wants me to do is to sit with it, be in it. I don't have to do anything else, just keep my attention, my presence, my heart focused there with it. So now I did speak a little more, so the song I will play will be very brief. This is called Behold an Ancient Voice is Calling.
Behold, behold, an ancient voice is calling. Behold, behold, all over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. Behold. Behold, 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 an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, all over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, 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 an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, all over the sky, ancient voice is calling us. All over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. An ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, all over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. All over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. An ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, voices calling us. Behold, behold, all over the sky,
an ancient voice is calling us all over the sky. An ancient voice is calling us, behold, behold.
All right, what I'm going to do now is stop the recording that I have been recording during the seven steps. I'm going to save it. That will take just about a minute. And so you'll have silence for just a little bit. And then I will come back and start the satsang. So just one moment, please.